This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by TurbulenceTraining.com, BlackStarLamps.com, and by RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. On this week's episode of the FitCast, Mike Boyle comes on to answer your listener emails, and also Jimmy and I dive into the mailbag with some more questions from you guys, and Jimmy has quite a long rant at the end, which you really don't want to miss. So I hope you all enjoy it. It's all coming up on this edition of the FitCast right now. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 75. I'm Kevin Larrabee, and of course, along with me is Jimmy Smith of JimmySmithTraining.com and also JimmySmithTraining.blogspot.com. That's so hard to say. What's up, Jimmy?
Nothing, Kev. How are you? How's everything?
I'm doing good. I'm really hoping that maybe someday you'll change your blog to, you know, like JST.blogspot.com.
It's branded now, so that's what it's going to be.
All right, fair enough. Well, we got a great show lined up for everyone out there today. Of course, you all know that Mike Boyle will be coming up on the show shortly, but let's jump into some quick FitCast topics. First off, I talked to Alan Cosgrove and Cassandra Forsyth. They will be coming on the show sometime after January 14th to talk about their new book called The New Rules of Lifting for Women. I know it's a follow-up to the New Rules of Lifting. I guess they're going to brand it New Rules of Lifting for Men and New Rules of Lifting for Women.
I actually just read that book. Cass sent me an advanced copy of it, and I actually have to post on some message boards. I'm going to post on some message boards today because I want to let people know how good the book was. Like I read it the first night I got it. Like I got it at 6 o'clock at night and picked it up, popped it open, read it, and it was a really good book. It's not just the New Rules of Lifting with women added on. It's a completely different book.
Yeah, I mean, you really can't go wrong with those authors. It's Alan Cosgrove, Cassandra Forsyth, and Lou Schuler. So you know the content's going to be great, especially with Alan's stuff. I mean, his fat loss workouts are incredible. And Cass, I know, is hitting on the training and also the nutrition part of the book. So, but it's good, Jimmy. You liked it.
I liked it. Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was really good.
So we'll make sure to. I'll see. Hopefully, I can get a copy of it.
I mean, it was raw. Like I emailed Lou Schuler today, and I was talking to him about it a little bit. It kind of was like a lot of books about how to train women are like they suck, and this book actually it was made the information extremely organized and easily applicable for women. Like a lot of times, you know, if you're not one of these women who's a trainer or really into working out, you're going to pick up a book and just look for immediate content and you can take like a blueprint. And that's what that is. It's not just, you know, you need to do high intensity cardio to burn, you know, more fat. It's not, there's theory in it, but it's theory that's easily applicable.
Well, so we really look forward to having those guys on again. It's been a while since we've had either Alan or Cass on. I think hopefully we'll get Lou on at some point as well. I just don't think I have the bandwidth for five people on the phone call, and I think it would get a little too busy.
Yeah.
Well, let's jump into the next piece. Starting next week, the shows will now be live as often as possible for all the FitCast listeners out there. Everyone who's listening right now, you will be getting some news. Sign up for the newsletter right now. If you're listening to this, sign up for it right now because that's how I'm going to be sending out all the info on how to listen to the show live every single week. So basically what we're going to do is use a program called TalkShoe. You're going to be able to listen to our live recording, and also you're going to get to send us messages through there's going to be a little chat room. And also if you have a question that we really like and we want to get you on the show, what we're going to do is, if you have a headset, we can actually add you to the conversation. You'll be able to come on the show and ask the question for yourself and ask follow-up questions if you'd like. But this is really going to be the main transition that we're going to be going through as the FitCast, as the year goes on. Because I don't know if you guys have been looking, but we're on episode 75. We're about a month and a half away from our two-year anniversary. So it's getting close.
Oh, no. A long way.
Yeah, it's March. So March was our first episode. So we're almost at 2 years. So.
They've got to be commended there, Kev. Great job with it, and I think it'll be fun to, to have the live show and have people be able to listen into it live. For the jerks out there, Kevin can still edit the show. So if you want to say something stupid, or if you just want to come to kind of, try to make a name for yourself, ask the question. No one's going to respond, and you'll be edited out. So it'll be a waste of your time.
Or you know what I might do is I might take that piece of audio and I'll mess it all up so you sound like a complete dork. I could do that as well and then post that over all the message boards, wherever you'd like it. But hopefully this is just going to be a great way for us as a show to be closer to you, the listeners, because the listeners out there, you're what make this show possible. I mean, if no one listened, we wouldn't do the show.
Yeah, and it'll be fun. You'll hear a lot of the offbeat stuff that we talk about, because we don't just talk about movies or whatever. We talk about a lot of, training stuff, like what we're currently doing with our training, and whatever, just stuff like off the cusp that we'll randomly talk about. So, and then also, like, you'll get to be a part of the discussion. You'll get to ask random questions that maybe pop into your head when one of us brings up a topic, or when someone else brings up a topic. Because I know a lot of times, I'll get email from listeners that'll say, "Oh, the question that so and so asked, you responded this way, but I want to know what your take is on, X." So they'll ask me like a question that goes off, an answer I gave to someone else's question. So it'd be good interaction for, for a lot of the people that are even listening to it too, to interact with each other. So.
Absolutely. So again, right now, pause the show wherever you're listening to it. Unless you're in the car, just write a note for yourself and sign up for the newsletter because that's how I'm going to get all the information to you guys on how
And the
to.
Facebook Club.
And yeah, you can also go through our face. I'll send out a message through our Facebook club as well, and hopefully, again, it's going to be a great experience for you guys and for us because I think it will make the show a lot more enjoyable and a lot more. Just like, people hanging out talking about fitness and nutrition, which is really the vibe I'd like to have for the show, and just make it as personal as possible. So,
That'd be pretty cool. Pretty cool.
and again, for all the FitCast insiders, for right now, from now on, this is what we're going to be doing. For all the interviews that have been done from the beginning up until now, is now going to be available as what's going to be called the FitCast Insiders Volume 1. Where all those interviews are packed together into one nice, I guess, package, where that's going to be available for purchase for $75. Now, that's not the end of the FitCast Insider. Over the next couple months, I'm going to be putting a new package together, a whole new volume, where that's going to be Volume 2. For anyone who has signed up for a yearly subscription to the FitCast Insider, you will get that for free. All right, you're going to get that for free, so do not worry about that. I'm going to email you links so you can get it absolutely free. For everyone else that signed up for a quarterly or a monthly subscription, right now all those payments have been stopped, so you will not be charged any more if you are part of the fitcastinsider.com, but your login name is still going to work. You can still go to the fitcastinsider.com, you can log in and you can download old episodes or I don't know, you can still leave comments. Make sure to check out all the extra video content we've thrown up there. So that's how we're going to move on from now on because, as you can probably tell, I've been pretty busy this semester and I'm going to be taking my winter break over the next 4 or 5 weeks once I get done with finals. I'm going to use that time to get a bunch of interviews together. And again, it's probably going to be between 10 and a dozen interviews. And then once those are all set, that's going to be Volume 2. And like I said, all the yearly subscribers, you're going to get that 100% free. So make sure to keep an eye out for that. And of course, we'll probably be talking about that on the show. So that's how we're going to do it from now on. And I mean, I really got to thank you guys for who joined the FitCast Insider for supporting the show because believe it or not, your money funds the show. You're what makes this show possible and helps us do things like I just bought a new $100 microphone, and I'm going to be sending Jimmy my $80 headset because I need a separate microphone. I have to use headphones for technical reasons I won't get into. But I mean, really, you guys, we're like PBS, and you guys are the ones who are donating during the telethon. I guess I'll put it that way. So I really appreciate everything that you've done so far for helping us out. Well, that's it for the FitCast news or FitCast topics. Now, we're going to take a quick commercial commercial break, and then we're going to jump into the interview with Mike Boyle, so we'll be right back. This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by TurbulenceTraining.com, Boost Muscle Growth and Blowtorch Body Fat at TurbulenceTraining.com. Also by BlackStarLabs.com, you can save 10% when you use the code FIT10 at checkout, that's FIT10. And also by RobertsonTrainingSystems.com, high octane corrective exercise and performance enhancement at RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. With us today is Mike Boyle. You probably know who Mike is, but Mike has served as the head strength and conditioning coach at Boston University for 15 years. Presently, Mike continues to serve as an assistant strength and conditioning coach at Boston University, primarily responsible for ice hockey. In addition to his duties at BU, from 1991 to 1999, Mike served as the strength and conditioning coach for the Boston Bruins. Mike was also the strength and conditioning coach for the 1998 U.S. Women's Olympic ice hockey team, who were the gold medalists in Nagano. And he has also served as a consultant in the development of the U.S. National Hockey Team Development Program in Ann Arbor, Michigan. You have most likely read Mike's articles on TNation.com and at strengthcoach.com. He also wrote Functional Training for Sports as well. You should check out that book. Pick it up at Amazon. And also, you can check out Mike's products like the CNS Intensive Training DVD that we're going to talk about at performbetter.com. So, Mike, the first question comes from one of our listeners, Ray. He asks, my question is about the CNS experiment that Mike talked about a bit last time when he was on. He says, I also purchased his CNS DVD. He spoke now that he's tried some new methods with his athletes this past summer, and I wondered what he had gotten for results and what he feels he learned from the experiment. Also, how will this affect 2008's training?
Okay, well, we'll start. One, I would say, if I was looking at the review, I'd say it was somewhat mixed. You know, I think I based it off of some stuff. You know, Jason Ferrugia had really kind of thrown out some incredible numbers, you know, 100-pound squat increases. And I never really expected to see that anyway. I would say it was better than what I had done the year before, so I think it was definitely an improvement. I would say it was not, you know, the reinvention of the wheel or the bread slicer or anything like that that, you know, was like, oh, my God, you know, this is unbelievable. So, you know, I'd sort of be, you know, I think it makes a difference. I think the one thing it did, we were able to get more out of less, which I think is good. Guys were fresher. We actually trained less. We trained 3 days instead of four. Our conditioning levels were really, really good without having done probably as much intensive conditioning as we were normally used to doing. So, you know, I think that part was a really big improvement. I think as far as, you know, how it reflects, okay, 2008, I think we definitely do it again in terms of, you know, staying with, you know, the bar on the back 1 day a week, or in our case on the front, you know what I mean? Basically one squat day, one heavy day where we're loading the guy up and then going single leg on the other day. I think we stay with the idea of more of a straight upper lower split. You know, I kind of talked about the idea of sort of like old meathead lifting, and Tuesday, Thursday were chest, shoulder, tricep days. Mm-hmm. The interesting thing about that, our guys loved it. I hated it. Because I thought it was the most boring thing, you know, watching guys. I mean, I was actually, you know, we're doing press downs, and I'm showing guys how to do lateral raises. I'm like, oh, my God, I want to go shoot myself. You know, this is not how I envisioned being a strength and conditioning coach in my lifetime. But knowing that there was a real scientific rationale behind that made it easier for me to stomach. But then the weird thing was, you know, guys said, you would call it, be like, I love, like, Beach Thursday. You know, we just come in, you know, we get a lot of arm work in and chest work, and I'm like, you know, you guys like it, I think it sucks. But, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, it's more about them than it is about me. So, you know, as I'm looking at it, I'm saying, hey, you know, not a bad thing. So there were a lot of positives out of it, but it was not earth-shattering, I guess, is the, you know, sort of the final analysis. Is that good enough?
Yeah, it's actually really interesting to hear that your athletes really enjoyed it more than you did. I mean, that's pretty much what the guys do here that I've seen from the guys that I've been training at school, is that they love to train that upper body on the night that they're going to go out or the night they're going to go to the beach. So that's just really fascinating to hear that.
Yeah, and it is. I mean, they're kids. That's what you have to remember. They're kids, and they like that stuff. You know, for me, I think I'm so focused on both the process and the product that sometimes, you know, you miss the human element of it a little bit because you're not thinking, like I always look and I think, you know, I don't really care, if they go out with a pump or what their arms look like or, you know, if this has any effect on their weekend or anything. You know, those things I'm like, literally, if you gave me a list of things that I was worried about, that wouldn't make it. But it just was odd that suddenly here's the feedback I'm getting. And obviously the psychological aspect of training is great. Hey, if guys are training harder and training more and enjoying it more, or maybe training harder and training less and enjoying it more, that's a pretty good thing. So it was a very fortunate accident.
Well, Jamie, I know you got the next question from Mike.
Yeah, Mike, next question is another from one of our listeners. It says, you said in one of your articles that one can't have enough thoracic mobility. I've seen techniques outlined to increase T-spine mobility, but have yet to come across a dedicated test for it. What are the indicators or tests that you use to determine the degree of thoracic mobility in your athletes? What benchmarks do you set for that mobility? And that question comes from Mike.
You know, I think it's interesting. I think if you saw my presentations last year, I said thoracic mobility is no man's land. We have no idea. It's one of these things that almost just seems to have wandered into the landscape for us. You know, all these physical therapists saying thoracic mobility. So the truth is, I don't really know. I don't know in terms of tests, parameters. I really don't have any definitive answers. But one of the things that we do notice is when we look at things like, Greg Cook's movement screen, what he calls his active shoulder mobility. That's affected by thoracic mobility. When you mobilize their thoracic spine, it appears that their internal and external rotation get better, which it doesn't. What does get better is the motion of their scapula. And we had one of our coaches actually improve by 8 inches during the demonstration. You know, we were talking about thoracic mobility. He was one of these guys, you know, he was almost a one, if you know the movement screen at all. So he almost had 16 inches between his hands, you know, when he tried to reach his hand, you know, one hand over, one under behind his back. All we did was have him do that little 2 tennis ball trick behind his back, and he went, dropped down to 8 inches.
Really?
So I think looking at the other thing we found is with wall slides, and if you understand kind of the wall slide position, if you look at wall slides, so what I almost look at is not measuring thoracic mobility, is looking at the impact of doing the thoracic mobility work on other things that we do that are maybe more measurable, like gray shoulder mobility or the wall slide, and seeing the change in those things. Because truth of the matter is, I don't know. The only thing I know, and this was my concern, was could I overdo this? So I emailed a bunch of my PT friends, Sue Falzoni at Athletes Performance, who had originally showed me this, John Paloff, a couple other people that I respect, and said, do you think we could get somebody's T-spine too mobile? Right across the board, everybody's like, no way. So those who do really understand it, the physical therapists were like, won't happen, don't worry about it. You know, just keep kind of banging away on it. So we have, but we really don't have. The other thing is, if you know the functional movement screen, what they call the rotary mobility test in the functional movement screen, if you look at that rotary mobility test, it'll tell you a lot about T-spine mobility, particularly if you limit somebody's lumbar motion. If you don't let them move at their lumbar spine, you'll be able to get a pretty good idea. And if we were looking at it that way, rotation, right rotation or left rotation of 90 degrees is generally pretty good. So, you know, if I'm looking at myself, and we actually do it sitting on a grid so we can see, and, you know, with a stick behind the back, and sort of like, you know, like the old trunk twist that guys used to do as an ab exercise, we would do that as a mobility test. And if someone can get around to 90, they've generally got pretty good spinal mobility. The difference is you've got to look at them and see where is it coming from. And that's what's hard to distinguish when you're talking about rotational motion, is looking at someone and saying, okay, where's the motion coming from? Are they simply turning at their lumbar vertebrae where I don't want them to, or are they turning at their thoracic vertebrae where I do want them to do so? We give them the idea of, you know, thinking about, think turn your shoulders as the cue, but I really don't have a great answer for that one, and I'd like to BS one up for you guys, but I won't do it.
Well, it's so amazing that with such like an almost a free piece of equipment, my clients here at school, I have them do thoracic mobility stuff every time we train, and I've never seen people feel better with such a, like, it's almost a free piece of equipment because, Mike, one example that you gave at the New York seminar that I was just at is that, I mean, you should never buy tennis balls. You should just find them because, like you said, tennis players virtually throw them out. You should just find a friend.
They absolutely do. You're right. I mean, there's no question. They throw them away because when they don't have enough bounce in them anymore, they don't want them. But as far as doing T-spine lumps, it doesn't make any difference. So it is, I mean, free. You know, you steal the tape out of the training room. You get the tennis balls from, you know, somebody who plays tennis. The tennis team was getting rid of their tennis balls. So it is, I guess, it's as close to free as you're going to get. And it works. I mean, it's one of those things that, even though from a measurable standpoint, you can look at it and say, okay, I'm not able to measure. I think there's so many things that we can't measure, but we know they work. So when I'm looking at this stuff, I say, hey, I'm not going to worry about. And that's why I always say, when people get mad at me when I say, screw the researchers, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to look at results. And I know that when we work on thoracic mobility, it's amazing. People will go up against the wall and do that wall slide and be like, oh, my God. You know, look at the difference. Look at my external rotation. You know, look at the release that I'm getting in my shoulders from my thoracic spine being able to move. So we know it's there.
The next question comes from Jimmy. In 2008, the gym I'm going to work at, I work for, is launching exercise programs and classes that target the child obesity epidemic. Do you have any advice or resources that could help make the project successful? Any tips on promoting it to the community? The age range is 10 to 15 years old. Thanks. And again, that's from Jimmy.
I think what you really need to do there is you probably need to offer free food. Get the kids in. I'm kidding. Okay, that's a bad joke. But the hardest part of that problem is that young, obese children don't want to be in that environment. So the number one thing I would tell you, no testing, no evaluation, no failure, no negativity. Because most of these kids, if you're an obese 10 to 15-year-old, you're already probably having social problems.
Mm-hmm.
You're already probably experiencing all sorts of failures in your life in terms of team sports settings, all of these things. So I think the biggest thing, you know, it's been a big failing, and I don't care about naming names. I've always said one of the things I think that's hurt velocity all along is this idea, you know, we'll guarantee your kid gets faster. We're going to test your kid. You know what I think most kids think about testing? They think it sucks. Excuse my language. You might have to bleep me. But, you know, the average kid does not want to know that he's got, you know, 20% body fat and a 14-inch vertical jump. And he definitely doesn't want his parents to know.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly if his dad, you know, is an NFL fan, you know, and realizes that, you know, the NFL stud is 4% body fat and has a 40-inch vertical. So I think the biggest thing is, you know, making it fun for these kids, trying to find some way. And obviously it can't be team sport oriented because these kids aren't going to do well in that environment. It can't be, you know, your conventional strength and conditioning program. So it's a very tough thing to tackle. Literally, because, you know, you've got to have it be more like an adult wellness program, and you've got to have the activity be, you know, pretty low level, walking, bicycling, Stairmaster, things that are going to allow these kids, and, you know, and that's where even like a good dynamic warm-up for a lot of these kids is an aerobic workout.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think from a marketing standpoint, the biggest thing is trying, you know, one, you've got to go to physicians to get kids in. You've got to find it, okay, how do I get these at-risk kids? Where do I find them? How do I get them here? How do I make it fun for them? Because, again, I think one of the problems with exercise, everybody equates exercise with gym class. And everybody equates gym class, okay, if I'm an overweight kid and, you know, now I got to take a shower in front of other people, I got to wear shorts. You know, there's just a gazillion negatives for that overweight kid that sort of sends them down this lifelong path of exercise avoidance. And we've got to really find a way, okay, you know, come as you are, dress the way you want, you know, let's just get an hour's worth of exercise in here. And then the big thing, there has to be a big, you know, psychological, nutritional, behavior modification aspect to this, because exercise is not the answer for these kids. That's the bad part, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, you know, there has to be a big parental component. I had one parent of kid, you know, the son at this time was, he was 5'10", he was 290 pounds, he was a high school football player. He was probably about 35% body fat. And I said, you know, you really need to help Pat as far as, you know, shopping. You can't have stuff in the house. You know what her response to me was, and this was an educated mother whose son was at a very exclusive private school. She said, but Mike, Pat likes that food. You know what I told her? I said, Pat has no money.
Mm-hmm.
He's 14. You know, he has no money. He can't buy any of that stuff unless you get it for him. So who cares if he likes it? you become, it's like being an enabler with an alcoholic. It's like having somebody that you know is an alcoholic and saying, hey, you know, going out there, you want to come with us?
Yeah.
You know, it's no different. I mean, you know, you can't have a house full of Twinkies and cereal. And, you know, it's almost like, hey, you know, if you're a parent of one of these kids, you know, take everything white in your house, throw it out. You know, throw out the white bread, throw out the white rice, throw out the white potatoes. You know, just get it all out of the building. Because that's the biggest step for those kids. So how was that? That was a long answer to a short question. Sorry about that.
Well, yeah, you actually make a really good point, because that's one of the things that I faced. When I was 14, 15 years old, now I was 205 pounds, and that was the thing. My parents just bought me the food that I wanted, and that's what I ran into. I was an active kid, but I was just eating the crap, and that's one thing I just had them do is I physically had to go to my parents and say, you know, you can't be buying this stuff, because if it's there, I'll eat it, but if it's not there, I won't eat it. And that just helped.
Yeah.
It just made the psychological hurdle just that much smaller. And
everybody that we talk to, you know, if you listen to John Varadi, you listen to Mike Rosselli, listen to any of these guys, they all say the same thing about that. For us, you know, don't have the stuff in your house. It's no different for kids, or have good snack food. You know, even with my kids, you know, we buy the 100-calorie packs, so we can have 100 calories of chocolate chip cookies or 100 calories of goldfish, but at least we can control the intake that we're getting. You know, we won't realize that the kid's going to sit there and take in 700 calories worth of goldfish at a sitting without us knowing what's going on. So yeah, I think that there's a lot to be done there. And you know, you talk about thoracic mobility being no man's land. How about child obesity? The other thing is, you know, teach somebody, hey, forget about high carb, low fat. We all know that, but it's amazing how many people still think that that's nutrition advice. That's a prescription for diabetes. You know, if you want to get diabetes, eat high carb, low fat.
Yeah.
All right, Mike, last question for you, and it's kind of not even a question. Just tell us a little bit about strengthcoach.com, the forums, the articles, the podcast. I mean, it's obviously one of the top resources online for strength coaches and trainers. I mean, just the forum itself is filled with some very, very bright people.
You know, it strengthcoach.com is it's interesting. What we did is we took Ryan Lee's sort of backbone of sportspecific.com. Ryan's site. Ryan is a guy who's very entrepreneurial, had a lot of things going on. Sportspecific had declined significantly to the point where it was a relatively inactive site. But he had a real good infrastructure in terms of, he had all the things that I needed in a website but didn't have in terms of back end and billing and all of these things.
Yeah.
I had MichaelBoyle.biz, which had gone from, you know, being a homepage for Michael Boyle, and then we put a forum up thinking, well, let's answer some questions because it's easier than answering a million emails. And MichaelBoyle.biz kind of took off to the point where it was this part-time job that I didn't get paid for. And I realized that I needed to go into a paid site situation in order to spend the amount of time getting information to people that I was spending that I was spending. Because I look at people, you know, people can pay, you know, $10 a month or whatever it is, $9.95 a month, and have access to an unbelievable flow of information, both from me and from some unreal people. I mean, the guys that are on there, you know, Jimmy, you've seen the form. If you go on and you look, I mean, it's amazing that these guys are on there answering people's questions for $10 a month. You know, you can throw a question up there, and you don't know if Eric Kress is going to show up, or Mike Robinson is going to show up, or Alan Cosgrove is going to show up. You know, I mean, I'm answering questions almost every single day. You know, Bob Alejo's on there. You know, we've literally got a staff of experts that's just ridiculous. But it's more, it was just an outgrowth of MichaelBoyle.biz and realizing, wow, I can't maintain this site, this little hobby site that I had, and have it be what I want it to be. And I think we need PT on the net for strength coaches.
Sure.
And we don't have that. There's, you know, there's different sites. You know, I look at it and think, hey, I'm going to T-Nation to get information. And T-Nation is they want to be a bodybuilding site in the worst way. But they're probably one of the best sports performance sites out there because of their writers.
Yeah.
Yet they're being something that they don't want to be. If they had their druthers, they would be a physique site. So I look at it and say, hey, nobody wants the niche. PT on the Net doesn't want it. T-Nation doesn't want it. Even Elite doesn't want it. You know, Elite wants to be a strength site, you know, a powerlifting, you know, strongman type site. And I'm sitting here thinking, wow, you know, we've got this great niche market that nobody wants. I want it. Because I think there's a huge amount of information. There's great people. There's, you know, there's just the stuff that we've been able to get out. And I mean, we've got so much good stuff in the pipeline. It's frightening. I actually have to, because I don't want to throw it all out there. We're trying to put up two new articles a week. Two of my older ones that people might not have read. and then generally two new ones that people have written. And I'm sitting on stuff that's really good because, you know, I have to, you know, I can't throw 80 new articles up there because they won't get read. You know, you've got to almost dole it out at a more reasonable pace. So it's really good. I mean, I think right now, if you go on and you go through the tour, you can still get a 14-day trial, I think, for $1. I'm pretty sure. I was looking through the tour the other day, and that link is still there, you know, trystrengthcoach.com for 14 days for $1. So for $1, you could go on there and steal my ebook, which is $29, and then never subscribe again if somebody wants to be that way. But I think most people who go on, the reason we did the promotion is anybody who's sincerely interested who goes on there for 14 days for $1 will become a member.
Sure.
It's that good.
No, it's a fantastic source for information. It really is. And a lot of people that are complaining about the prices obviously don't really want to learn because, for like you said, it's so cheap and just the information there is amazing.
And you haven't sent an article in yet. You said, I'm waiting. You and Mike Robertson. Mike Robertson, if you're listening to the podcast, let's go. There's an article on training females. We're waiting.
And
that's what's good. I mean, we're getting the best people, the best writers, and we're doing, I mean, most everybody's doing, no one's getting paid.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not getting paid yet either, which is fine. I wasn't getting paid off the other side. Eventually, it will become something that, you know, is a good business decision for me, but right now we're still in the labor of love stage.
Sure.
And the podcast has been great. Anthony Wren is doing the podcast, Perform Better, has sponsored it, which is what's allowing us to do that. You know, I didn't even realize I have had the three Seans on. Someone said to me, does my name have to be Sean in order to get interviewed on the podcast? And I said, what are you talking about? And then I realized that Sean Skane, Sean Wendell, and Sean Hayes were the first three strength coaches that we interviewed just by chance because I had gone hockey, basketball, football with guys that I knew that were in pro sports. And, you know, obviously we'll start to expand that out where, you know, every Greg Cook is doing a segment, Ask Greg Cook for him. He's doing it for nothing because we always get questions for Greg. And he records 10-minute answers and sends them to Anthony. So I've been very lucky that I can capitalize on the friendships that I've made and the relationships that I've had over the years, and that people are willing to do some stuff that really makes for an unreal educational resource.
Yeah, Gray's stuff is fantastic. I mean, he goes off on rants for about 10, 12 minutes, and you learn. When Gray rants, you learn. So that itself makes it worth the price of admission.
Oh, yeah, no question. You're absolutely right. I mean, he's you know, I just was with him yesterday at the Perform Better thing in New Jersey, and he's one of those guys. He says things off the cuff that, you know.
Yeah.
Most people will never have thoughts like that in their whole life, and he just has them sort of at random.
Sure, and it makes you stop and think. Yeah.
One thing that I think is worth mentioning is that, especially when it comes to the forum, I've been someone that I have been MIA when it comes to forums on the internet because it's really the conversations aren't professional when it comes down to it. But Mike, I mean, one reason I spend half an hour a day just reading the messages on the forum at strengthcoach.com, just because, you know, it's smart people making civil remarks and it's intelligent conversation, and the conversations stay intelligent. They don't go downhill, which I'm paying for the site right now, and I've just been on the forum like most of the time that I'm there because it's just like unlimited great information on the forum.
There's no question that it isn't. I'll take care of you paying for the site, you guys. I have to make sure I hook you guys up. But the other thing is, it really isn't that. I've done that on purpose, though, because I know a lot of people, and if someone, you know, someone acts up, I either call them or email them and just tell them, don't do it. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I don't, you know, this is not going to be one of those, you know, internet tough guy forums, you know, where, you know, wait till I see you in person.
Yeah, right.
And I said that at a Perform Better thing the other day. It's like the Brad Paisley song, the country song, so much cooler online. You know, it's amazing how tough some people can be when they're 1,000 miles away. But,
sure.
You know, we've avoided that completely. And that's really, like I said, I think that's really what makes the forum is that people, good, smart people trying to help other people learn, not, you know, mouthing off and trying to show how tough they are, or, you know, generally being an ass. Mm-hmm. Not a bleep for you there. So.
Mike, I really appreciate you coming back on the show and just talking to us, answering some of the questions from the listeners. And I mean, everyone out there, you got to be getting on strengthcoach.com, and like Mike said, just at least try out the 14-day trial. It's $1. Like, what are you going to lose? And in any case, you might just be able to get that free ebook and say but I think you'll like the site.
Like I said, I'm not worried about it. It's one of those things, if they try it, they'll come back. And I appreciate you guys. I really do appreciate it. It was funny. I listened to Bill Hartman. I was listening to you guys last night on the recorded ones as I drove back from New Jersey. And it's very true. I mean, I appreciate the amount of time you guys put into this, because obviously for you guys it is a, you know, it's a labor of love. You're doing it because you like it. You're doing it because you're into it. And I really have a lot of respect for that. So thank you very much for giving me the chance to, you know, to come on and talk about what we're doing.
Oh, no, thank you.
It's an honor. It's a pleasure. And like you said, we do it for the love of the game. You know, this is a lot of fun. And for me, this is a learning tool for me. I'm still the student, and I'm learning from all of our guests every single week. So it's a huge pleasure.
Well, you're building a pretty good network for yourself, too, so.
We're trying.
Not a bad idea. Hey, I got to run back. I'm going to go back and eat with my wife, because I did forget, and I was sitting there eating, and I ran away.
All right, thanks a lot, Mike. Take care.
All right, you're welcome. Mike. Bye, Jimmy. Thank you. See ya.
See ya. Well, that was Mike Robertson just wrapping up
Mike
that
Boyle.
Interview. Or Mike Boyle.
Yeah, he called him.
Well, he was talking about Mike Robertson, so he got Mike's name in my head. So,
always fantastic to hear Mike. I mean, again, like I said about Gray Cook, how when you hear Gray rant on stuff and talk about stuff, you learn. But Mike's just amazing. So the thing about Mike Boyle is that he has successfully bridged numerous areas into one. You know, athletic training. So athletic trainers look at injuries different than physical therapists do. Physical therapists look at injuries and the body different than ATs do, and trainers and strength coaches look at it different. But Mike Boyle has brought all three of them together, and he does a fantastic job. And the thing about Mike is, if you ever talk to him, you know, Mike can get as advanced as anybody wants to get, but he has a way that not many writers do. He has a way of bringing his knowledge into an accessible way where people can learn it, but they can use it. Because a lot of people that read his articles aren't, you know, all up on anatomy and things like that. But Mike brings it into ways that, you know, people can use it. So, I mean, you know, when I have new trainers, that I hire, the first thing I suggest them to do is pick up Mike's program design Bible, because a program design book, because the thing is, I mean, in this industry now, is a lot of trainers are trying to go more towards a movement-based thing, and I think Mike's book sums it up fantastic. It's an ebook too. You get it for like $20 or something.
Yeah, you can check out most of those products at performbetter.com. So if you're interested in those, I'll throw a link up in the show notes for all those things as well. But again, it's always a pleasure to have Mike on, and it's really interesting to talk to him, because like he mentioned at the seminar in New York, like he's always working on like 7 or 8 articles at a time, because he has article ADD is what he called it, where he's just bouncing from like article to article, and he just has so many great ideas that he's working on at one time. So again, anytime we can get him on, I'll have him on anytime, pretty much. He is a golden key to the FitCast, I guess. Well, Jimmy, what do you say we jump right into the mailbag and just make this one fluid
motion? Let's hit it.
All right. This question comes from a listener that's actually in he's in Asia. And I forgot where the email said he was from, but I'm going to do the mess. He's a new listener, and actually for everyone out there, if you want to send questions into the mailbag, just all you got to do is send an email to questions@thefitcast.com. That's questions with an S at the end, @thefitcast.com, and just throw in mailbag question in the subject line, and we'll throw it into the show. And next week we're going to be doing a lot of them, so send in your questions early and often. So his question is, for the millions of people out there who are allergic to nuts, and he puts in quotes tree nuts, what is a good alternative to get your fats and other nut goodness? And that's from, I'm going to do my best with the name, Nolaig, I think, Nollaig. So I did my best with the name, but Jimmy, I think we're both going to say like fish oil.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a tough situation.
Is flax oil considered a tree nut as well? It's a seed. It's a seed, though.
No, I don't think it's considered a tree nut. I think more people don't know that they're allergic to food than are. Mm-hmm. You know, like you don't have to break out in hives every time you eat something to be allergic to it. And I think honestly, if you're not gonna eat nuts, then you know, your best bet is to take your smart fats, your CLA, your GLA, and your, you know, omega-3s. I mean, that's There'd be no way around it. And if anybody like doesn't like that, then you know I'm suggesting supplements. I mean, for unique situations. And a lot of times for myself, I won't eat nuts. Like now, I'm not eating. I'm trying not to eat dairy. I'm not eating cottage cheese. I'm not eating yogurt. I mean, I am taking in whey protein. But you know, anything you commonly eat, you become allergic to. So while it's not always as simple, simply stop eating food for a period of time will sensitize your body to the food a little bit more. That's not to say you can, you know, you can do gut cleaning things and all that other stuff that we won't get into. But yeah, that's the only advice I can really give me is go with the Smart Fats, CLA, GLA, fish oil, you know, product like Flame Out. Kind of what you, that's what you need to do.
Yeah, and hopefully you can find something in your neck of the woods that's an equivalent, or you could just eat more fish. That's always another option to get some get healthy fats from some whole food sources. And even
yeah, but I mean, fish is kind of overrated for fish oil, as weird as that sounds, and it doesn't have as much as people make it out to.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think
it's better than nothing, sure.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of, I mean, really anything that I can go with, but being allergic to tree nuts, that sucks. To be honest. All right. Well, next question is actually, Jimmy, I got this morning, and it's in relation to one of your recent blog posts, and it's actually also in regards to a forum topic. And this is from Pete. Jimmy, in regards to your blog post called The Arms Race, you just went over, can you just go over what you meant by your comments in the article? And Jimmy, can you just tell the audience pretty much what sum up what you said or what happened in that
post. Yeah, I mean, first of all, if you haven't read my blog, then shame on you. It should be an everyday
jimmysmithtraining.blogspot.com.
As always, thank you, Kev. The thing with is I went on a popular fitness forum, and it had an article someone had asked about Charles Poliquin's winning the arm race. If you're not familiar with the book, it's a book just all about arm specialization, okay? And the comments that people got, it kind of really, you know, irked me a little bit because people were really, we're getting on Charles, and I know that people bash everybody in this industry, and you know, Charles is a guy people bash, and you know, amongst other things. But the thing is, when you look at all the people that get bashed, they're all, you know, pretty smart people. Jason Frugia, Anthony Roberts.
They tend to be doing something right when
yeah,
they get
sure,
the results.
Sure.
You know,
well, I love like there's one website that actually writes my name but doesn't write it the way I spell it, and hey, I mean, I love it, you know you're talking about, so that means obviously I'm doing something right. If you guys want to spend a minute of your day talking about me, like,
that's,
I think
cool,
that's
man
cool.
that's like almost having fans, you know.
Sure I mean, they're scary fans, but whatever. but back to the topic at hand, it's like, so people were getting on it, and like I say in my blog, I don't mean to go all meathead, but you know, like, let's see those people's arms. And I'm not trying to say like, oh, you know, to be a trainer, you have to be in shape. And if you're an overweight trainer, you're not a good trainer. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that a lot of people are making comments like, why would you do an arm specialization? You know, people who think the guy I wrote is crazy. If you think that guy's crazy, whatever. But you know what? He's forgotten more than 99.999% of the industry you'll ever know. You know, and it's just utterly ridiculous to get on somebody because you don't like what he writes about. You know, like, yes, it's hard to separate marketing from what people write, but like, read the stuff the guy's written. It's absolutely amazing. You know, and then you hear comments like, no one needs to directly train their arms. Says who? Like, I have a lot of friends in the industry who will write about not training arms and that, you know, you need to do full body movements. Yeah, you do. But you also have to look at individual cases. Like, for someone who's, you know, pretty well advanced in terms of training age and in terms of, you know, the muscle mass they have, they're going to need to do body part splits. Like, body part splits aren't the devil. And you get this gang mentality in this industry where it's kind of like when you were a little kid and, you know, you had a group of three friends and, you know, you, if you disagreed with something the other two friends said, you didn't want to go against them because they wouldn't talk to you for a day. Mm-hmm. And you not getting talked to for a day by your quote-unquote friends or people not liking you and turning the group against you, you know, was the world. And that's how it is kind of online. Like even these people who are trainers and they have, like, they're saying that. Well, they don't think outside the box. They obviously must not train a lot of people. You know, like, when you break it down into a fundamental aspect, is arms are one of the – they're probably the number one body part people want. Like, in terms of the opposite sex, like, I mean, you know, I don't know what guy ever says, oh, I want my girl to have, you know, flabby triceps. And I don't know what girl ever says, you know, oh my God, I have skinny arms. I mean, sure, I'm not saying that's the be all end all in relationships, but at the same time, like, that's the body part people want next to abs. You know, so it kind of, I'm just confused that it goes against the fundamental principle of training to not train what you want. So it's like, all right, you know, I'm just going to bench and do chin-ups. That's great. And chin-ups are a fantastic bicep builder, and bench is great for your triceps. But if I stayed with that, I wouldn't have the triceps I have now. And I'm not trying to say I have, you know, Lee Priest arms. But what I am saying is that I added significant size on a 6'6 frame because I did isolation movements. And you have to look at the individual. If you're an athlete, or if you're trying to somebody to improve performance, or if you're someone who's trying to improve health, then don't do that. No. And I think the people who read and go on these forums and debate, I don't think that they understand that a lot of times people write for the general population. No one's going to start an article and says, you know, dear advanced lifter, or a person who has been in the game, or a person over 220 pounds. No one's going to write those articles because the majority of people who read it aren't those people. I mean, just go in a gym at any time. You maybe see, you know, one or two big guys. You know, I mean, like even, like I've talked about before how the crew I train with, you know, has some pretty hardcore people. You know, there's a couple 18-year-old kids that are in there that work out. And, you know, yeah, they're doing body part splits. Maybe those guys, even though they have decent muscle on them for their age, need to be doing, you know, push-pull routines or, you know, upper-lower splits or whatever. Maybe they need to because they don't have a good amount of muscle mass on them. But there's some other strong-ass dudes that got to be strong-ass dudes by doing body part splits. So I think people have to realize that, like, you know, you can't get what you want to get if you just listen to everybody else. So for the average Joe who reads that and is like, oh, damn, you know, I just want to look good in a T-shirt, why isn't he going to train his lateral delts, his pecs, and his biceps, you know, and his triceps? Like, you know, not – and I don't mean to sound like a hypocrite saying this, but not everybody needs to worry about structural balance. Yes, you need to. Yes, it keeps you healthy. Yes, for a lot of performance communities, you need to do it. And to look good, you need to. I mean, no one wants to see somebody, you know, who looks like the Hunchback of Notre Dame. But
yeah, I think that's what you called me once. I think you said that.
Yes, on top of Grandpa Munster, which someone actually sent me a picture, and it looked hysterical. It was your picture next to Grandpa Munster?
Mm-hmm.
Bro, but back to my little rant. Is that I think, I know where I was trying to go with this is that, like, break away from the conventional thought process. Like, doing the norm gets you what type of results? It gets you normal results. And everybody who reads a blog or reads a fitness forum and sees that four experienced lifters or four experienced trainers, you know, who look like, you know, shit themselves, or who post with, like, you know, names that, you know, sound like they picked it out of their nose, like, why do you listen to them? Like, I mean, when I was young and I was in, like, the bodybuilding.com forums, like, I listened to a lot of those people and I was like, this isn't working for me. You know, like, I don't get it. Like, I don't get why people – so everybody jumps on and says, why would you read that book? You need to do full body splits. You don't know if this dude – is 230 pounds or if he's 103 pounds. Like, I think when we give advice, we have to kind of look at it. Like, that's why, like, when I answer questions in the forums, which I really don't do anymore, like, I try to look at the audience that I'm talking about and I try to classify that. Like, so for the general population, for the most people that, you know, Google how to get bigger arms, they need to come across chin-ups and pull-ups and shoulder presses and whatever. But there comes a point for even them that they need to do direct arm work. Like, I don't even care if you're 130 pounds. The majority of your time should be spent, you know, pressing heavy, pulling heavy. But at the same time, why can't he do, you know, an arm day? Or why can't he do a shoulder day? You know, like, it just is pure stupidity to me, really, that you have these people that, you know, are going out and saying all that. So that's why I kind of went on that little rant about the whole arm thing.
You know, I think just jumping off what you're talking about, I think that... And I was someone like this a couple of years ago too, that someone has really one principle and people run away with it. Like you'll have people that say that you got to do your pull ups and things like that, and they'll just be in that mindset. Well, all right, I'm only going to do pull ups. I'm not going to do my bicep curls anymore, and things like that. And I just think you can't get locked in one principle. And different things work for different people, and it might even just be some kind of psychological advantage. Like we just talked with Mike, his guys love doing that upper body workout on that last day. They like to get that pump going. It helps them psychologically, and it might help them stick to that workout. That might be something where, like, all right, I'm gonna stick through this workout. I'm gonna do deads today, and then tomorrow I'm gonna get to do arms, and I'm gonna feel like a million bucks.
I'm agreeing. Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's pretty much I was going to get into. And Jimmy, have you read the book in question? It's called.
Yeah, I mean, I had the actually, that was the first training book I ever bought, was winning the arms race.
Is it from like 97 or 96?
Oh, it's got to be from at least like 2000. Because if you go on like the old Tenacious stuff, like Charles talks about multiple editions of it, he never released multiple editions. Mm-hmm. It's got to be from like 99 or 2000, but it's actually the first training book I ever bought. Because I was in college and, you know, winning the arms race, you know, bam, there you go. Cool title.
Yeah, there's a guy with huge arms on the cover too, so.
That's Charles. That's Charles.
Oh, he looks really young in that picture.
Yeah, yeah. You know, so it's like, and that book, don't get it twisted. That's a great training resource, you know, just for the fact that Charles goes into like overload principles.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was looking at it. I'm looking, he has a new cover for the book.
He has a new cover for the book. Yeah,
that's why that wasn't Charles. Sorry.
No, the old cover, the original cover was red.
Yeah, the new cover. You can check it out at charlespolkin.com. It's I think it's a blonde hair guy. I guess it must be. He just did a new cover for the book, but I'm seeing the old cover on. It's the old cover's on Amazon.com.
Yeah, so it's like he goes into some great he releases some training information there that you're not going to get if you just listen to this, you know, these mainstream people or these smart people on forums, you know, who want to praise, you know, the crappy work. Like Charles goes into, you know, some Russian training methods and regardless of what you think of them, like open your eyes, read these methods, learn these methods. Like he was in some great overload methods that, you know, I've talked about in articles, that Christian Thibodeau's talked about in articles. You know, like that's something you have to look at. And the program itself, it's a damn good program. And I mean, a lot of the programs there, like there's a couple programs because it's like, it's like a 16-week program or whatever it is. I mean, there's a couple workouts there that do take, you know, longer, you know, but there's also some stuff that, you know, if this is dynamic effort, you know, say day two upper body, you can throw in one of those routines that takes about 20 minutes to do at the end.
Yeah.
You know, like Kev, like you primarily lift upper lower or full body sessions. Like, and that's the thing people don't realize is you have to look at stimuluses. Everybody knows about periodization or talked about periodization, why you should train reps and sets. Train your emphasis, though, too. Like, you know, after 4 weeks of me doing upper-lower, like, I'm drained, dude. I don't want to go in the gym and train. And you know, don't even get me started on full-body routines. I think they're great, but for people, for regular people, like the CNS burnout, I think it's going to be too high. You know, so it's like after 4 weeks of that, I'm like, damn, I need to, you know, I'm loving training again, partially because I'm eating whatever I want. But also because I went back to old school bodybuilder split routines. And I'm growing because for so long I had done upper lower splits. I had done full body stuff. You know, now I'm back to what I talked about in Naturally Diesel, which is, you know, upper lower and then, you know, 3 days of body part splits. I've worked with countless bodybuilders that have done that and they love it. You know, a guy just had a contest the other day that did it. You know, so it's like you have to kind of break yourself away from the norm there. I mean, so for winning the arms race, I looked at it like here's a guy who is a very smart man, regardless of what you think about him. And, you know, people are getting on him in his program, telling someone who I don't even know his age, if he was 17 or 37, saying you don't need to do this.
Well, again, like, some people have to look. If I just don't see how people can bash authors and trainers out there who have such great what's the word I'm looking for? Well, they've had such great results with their clients. They wouldn't be. I mean, Charles Polkin, he's doing pretty good for himself. You know what? He's had some great books, and also, I mean, he even has his own supplement line now. Obviously, people think he's doing something right. People keep buying his products.
Well, and a lot of these people also don't have the. I've talked to athletes who have personally worked with Charles. And they will all tell you to a T that he saved their careers. So regardless of what you think of him, the man is very well read, very well educated in the field. You know, like Paul Check's another guy that people get on a lot. And, you know, I had the great fortune of talking to Paul recently. The first thing I said is he's a smart man. You know, Pavel's the same thing. Like I even emailed Kevin when I was on the phone with Pavel and I said three words. He is smart. you know, like,
which is a very vague email at the time. I didn't know who the hell he was talking about, but
yeah, it was like a Friday. It was like 7 o'clock, and Kevin responds back with, "Are you drunk?" But you know, those are guys that people get on because they've taken necessary steps to ensure their financial success. And there's these haters out there that get on them and say they don't know what they're talking about. These guys are amazingly smart, and even if they're not, like, still you pick up their material, you read it, you determine for yourself. You know, like I posted an article. There's a very popular message board that has a section for post your own articles, and you know I posted a couple, you know, quick ones that I had wrote for my blog, and someone posts back with, "This is nothing new. You're not that smart." Mm-hmm. Dude, this is a free article submission. If I posted my advanced stuff, you would friggin', you know, you wouldn't know, you wouldn't even be able to read it because you're not that smart. So if your screen name is not your real name, like, don't even bother talking to me. Like, don't even address me. I don't know. I'm sorry to go off on such a long rant about it. I just found it really, really stupid that you had all these people who were, you know, the same five people that post there saying, "Don't do this, don't do this." Like, it's your opinion and you're entitled to it, but, like, take a step back. And, you know, maybe the best question is to ask is, what's your training age? "Oh, I've been training for 6 months. Don't do it."
Mm-hmm.
"Oh, I've been training for 6 years. Give it a try." "I've been training for 2 years. Give it a try." "How much muscle mass do you have?" Mm-hmm. You know, the whole telltale sign is, like, if no one's ever said to you, "Dude, you look big," or "Your arms look big," or "Your shoulders are nice," then chances are you need to be doing full body routines and adding overall size. Okay? Like, if someone says to you, "Oh, you know, what do you do for your arms? Your arms are nice." That lets you know you should be doing a little more body part splits. You know, that's just my train of thought there. And I mean, you know, agree with it or disagree with it, I don't really care, but, like, that's just the deal with that. I mean, Kevin has made some great gains in his body, but no one's, you know, he's added some muscle, but no one would have said to him 6 months ago, "Oh, Kevin, you're jacked." And Kevin's not going to take offense to that, and Kevin knew. That's why Kevin, you know, for how old are you now?
I will be 22 in January.
Okay, so that's why for an almost 22-year-old, Kevin just pulled a 425. You know, and we're not saying that's, you know, great numbers, but I don't know how many other 22-year-olds...
Well, let's put this into perspective. I talked to Eric Krusty today, and put this in perspective. Before I started lifting with Eric at the beginning of the summer, I was pulling a horrible 275. That was pretty much my one or two rep max. And now to see myself go to 425, I mean, I've never felt better in my life. And again,
yeah, you're not going to look at Kevin and you're not going to say, "Dude, like, you're enormous," but Kevin did it the smart way. Kevin's making solid muscular gains. He's eating right. You know, he's training heavy. He's training smart. Like, the best way to add muscle isn't always necessarily full body, you know, training heavy. It's not like the bodybuilder stuff does work, people. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. I'm done talking about that, to be honest.
Well, I think people really enjoy your rants, Jimmy. So I appreciate you talking and going on a rant.
And if you don't, you can either just fast forward or, you know, tell me how much you don't like it. Either way, I don't care. I'm here to try to give as much unique information as possible. You know, like, that's, I just don't understand people sometimes.
Well, that's good. And actually, just through this conversation, I went at eBay to see what Charles has for books up on eBay, and the Pelican Principles could be going to me for $15, which will be my deal of the day. That's good book for $15.
Is one of the absolute best books you will ever read.
Yeah. So I will,
you know, like, that book people give a lot of slack to, but that is one of the best books you will ever read.
Well, there you go. Please, I hope if anyone's listening, do not bid on that. So
I just missed something on eBay. I was going to buy something from Matt Fury's, a business thing, which I know people. Again, Matt Fury, another guy, got really successful, makes more money than a lot of people can dream about, but he's a bad guy. Because you have these people that think they have to protect, like, the integrity of the industry. And it's not an old industry. Like, look at who, you know, are the people in the Godfather position, you know, the people that are the top in the field. Alan Cosgrove, Mike Boyle, Charles Pelican, Paul Cech, Charles Daly, Dave Tate, John Berardi. These guys are all people that are very fortunately still writing and still doing their things in the industry. You know, Charles Daly, Pavel, you know, these are guys that are still doing their stuff in the industry. This isn't like some old traditional thing like baseball where it's like, "You took steroids, you weren't a good player."
Mm-hmm.
Like, Barry Bonds still had more has more talent than.
Let's not get
dude,
into this conversation.
Barry Bonds still has more talent than 99.9% of the people that'll ever pick up a baseball bat. Okay, I don't want to get into it, but like with baseball, is everybody's concerned about steroids, and in football, like everybody lets it go.
Oh well,
because
you know
baseball's
what, you
are, baseball's a tradition.
Sorry, I'm gonna bring something up when you're done with that.
No, like my whole point is this, and that's what I'm trying to bring up is like you have these people that are hating on the industry and hating on people that are doing well financially for themselves because they're making a mockery of this industry. They need to be spending more time training people. How much time do you spend on the freaking internet, dude? Like, I still, for the life of me, don't get it because, like, yeah, I think someone's, you know, I think someone would be an ass if they've trained people for a year and, you know, have all this marketing knowledge, but everybody I know who's doing well financially online through the fitness industry has actually spent time training people, you know, and maybe now they make their money online, but they put the time in.
Yeah.
You know, so you guys don't have to protect the integrity of the industry. Okay, it's a young industry. It'll survive. It'll be fine.
Just the one thing I wanted to bring up that caused lots of controversy within the room that I was in that day is that my exercise physiology teacher, Dr. Timmer, came in to talk to the employees of the campus gym, and he made a statement that, although he didn't say he's 100% positive, but you know how Teddy Bruschi 2 years ago had a stroke?
How?
Steroids.
I mean, I don't, you know, I could understand, you know.
Well, I mean, the point that he brought up is they said that there was a hole in his heart that went undetected for his 8-year career in the NFL, which shouldn't be possible.
Yes, but let's understand about holes in the heart. Everybody is born with a hole in their heart. Majority of them close up when you're still an infant. So,
well, they said it was undiscovered up until that point. Like he's had.
Yeah, but a lot of it is. A lot of it, unless you get like, you know, really like deep heart tests. I forget what it's called. It's not the EKG. It's maybe the EEM or whatever, like that. Unless you get a specific heart test that looks for that, you're not going to find it.
Yeah.
Because in the grand scheme of things, it's really small, and that is linked to like seizures and strokes, because the left ventricle is not pumping enough blood to the right atrium, which has to cycle the heart out. Which God is the most boring section in certifications is the heart stuff. But so I don't know. Let's wrap this up. We're ranting way too much.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's all right because the Patriots are 12-0 right now. They're going for 13-0 tomorrow night.
Who are they playing? Who are they playing tomorrow night?
It doesn't matter.
They almost lost last week, and they just suck.
I don't watch the Patriots anymore. The Celtics are currently 14-2 as of this podcast.
They're going to get beat. The Celtics, they're not playing that good basketball. They're really not, dude.
They actually only had one bad game they had a bad game against the Cavaliers.
They're not
afternoon.
Deep, and basketball's a game of being deep.
They are 14-2.
Yeah, but the King beat him by himself. So I mean, he won't do that in a playoff series. LeBron won't beat him in a playoff series, but like Orlando can beat them in a playoff series. Detroit can. Like they haven't done anything, dude. Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, and Kevin Garnett—they haven't done anything. They haven't won anything.
I know. All I'm saying is that they're
show me the money. Like I'll trust Tom Brady more than I'll trust them.
All I'm saying is that they're right now in a good position.
Damn guy dates Giselle, and you know. Friggin' Bridget Moynihan, bastard.
All right, well, that is our NFL and NBA minute for this week. We're going to wrap it up. Again, everyone, don't forget, we're going to be doing a live show next week. It's probably going to be at Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If we can get, I think we should be able to get everyone together, just me, Jimmy, and Jen Heath, who will be, she'll be making her, her huge return to the show, and it will have balloons and prizes. We won't have prizes, but she'll be coming on. And also, I'm gonna people have been asking for t-shirts and hoodies with the new logo on it. I'm working on it. I'm trying to get some of that stuff together. We're either going to go through Cafe Press, or I'm just going to pay a couple $100 to have some of them made up so we can start getting them out to you guys. So again, don't forget to sign up for the newsletter if you want to be a part of that live show for next week. Don't forget to check out jimmysmithtraining.com and also jimmysmithtraining.blogspot.com. You know, you might want to throw up a reply to his post on the arms race. If you disagree or agree with Jimmy, I don't know if you check your comments on there, Jimmy, but
I do, and I usually respond to them. Jimmy Varner left me a comment that I've yet to respond to, but I will extremely soon because I think it's like I encourage people to make comments on my blog. Like I think it's cool that we can have this interaction there and talk about whatever I'm ranting about that day. So
yeah, I hope Paul Connolly is listening about you bashing the Celtics, and I hope he sends you a nasty email because he is my fellow.
Who's that?
He's my fellow Celtics fan. Actually, I met him at the Perform Better seminar in Boston last year, and he's a fan of the show, and I know he's listening. So I hope he sends out a bulk email. All right, well, we're going to get out of here. So again, don't forget to check out thefitcast.com. If you want to get volume one of the Fitcast Insider, you can go to thefitcastinsider.com. It's $75, or you can still get, we're still trying to raise money for the Leukemia Lymphoma Society, so you can also get that package where $50 will be donated to the Leukemia Lymphoma Society. And I think we're going to get out of here. So for episode number 75, I'm Kevin Larrabee.
I'm Jimmy Smith.
And we'll see you next week on the live show. Again, don't forget to check out thefitcast.com. Check us out on iTunes, and also you can check out the strengthcoach.com podcast on iTunes. Thanks again, everyone, and we will see you next week. Take care.